Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Platinum and Gold. I'm your host, Adam Barrera, but you may know me as Adam the Flop on social media. If this is your first time here, welcome. This is a podcast where I talk about all things pop music, give my opinions, talk about charts and all of that. But if it's not your first time here, thank you so much for coming back, and let's get into the episode. This week, I want to talk about an interview that happened recently where Chloe Bailey spilled some tea about the music industry. So I'm going to play the clip and talk about it, and then I'll get into my segments where I talk about this week's top 10 songs, my favorite song right now, and the music news of the week. So if you don't know who Chloe Bailey is, definitely go listen to her music as soon as this episode ends. She's kind of a new artist, kind of not. She made music for a while with her sister, Hallie, and their duo name was Chloe and Hallie. But last year, she started making music as a solo artist. And her songs are honestly so fucking good. Like, she only has two so far, Have Mercy and Treat Me, but I'm obsessed with both of them, and I seriously cannot wait until she releases her debut album. But anyways, she went on the Terrell show last week and spilled some tea about the music industry. Here's the clip.
What is something that a lot of people, fans, viewers, listeners, they don't really know about the music industry? Like, it would shock them to learn that this is part of the process, right? We just be like, all right, where's the music? Let's go.
You know, you can create music all day long, mm-hmm. but it's like, especially if you're signed to a label, you can't control your release dates yeah. or when things get released. Also, musicians don't make a lot of money in the music industry. That's why you see a lot of people, they have brand deals and brand sponsorships. That's where the coin comes from in touring. But like music itself, you're actually losing money.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ain't that crazy?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you want to know something else?
Yeah.
I learned this because I would produce Sis and I's records. Mm-hmm. Producers outside will get paid a huge lump sum, but because I would produce Sis and I's records, I couldn't get paid because I was the producer within the group.
Now, hold up. Hold up. You're doing the same work, but not getting
yes.
a dime from it because it's your
yes.
own music.
Yes.
Now, how does that
and
make
also,
sense?
Like, I don't know if it changed within Grammys, but you know, like how they have Producer of the Year? I learned it from Imogene Heap because, mm-hmm. you know, she produces a lot of her stuff. So does Grimes, so does Bjork. They couldn't be contenders for Producer of the Year because they were the ones producing their own bodies of work and not for others. And notice how those are just the women I named.
Wow, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. The good thing is that even though you do lose money in the music business, mm-hmm. you get a coin from everything that comes from the music you're making. So
true.
It's like almost the music is almost like the ad.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
it's a business, and sometimes it's sad to think of it that way, but that's why tours go big and
yeah.
everything. That's where you make your money and the big brand deals. So that's like a fact that not too many people know. They think it's like this huge high life thing. And yes, you might get a big lump sum of money in the beginning, or you might have a huge recording budget and
right.
you think the label's paying for it, but at the end of the day, you're paying for it.
Man.
It's coming out of you.
Yeah.
So whatever you made from that album, you get that after whatever has been paid off.
Mm.
So it's like a loan.
That is a hard pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It
yeah.
makes it hard for you to be a creative artist because
exactly.
it's like so much crazy business that goes
yeah.
into it.
So I'm learning, especially now as a solo artist, I have to have multiple hats. Me
yeah.
as my creative, which is where I want to spend most of my time. But then I also have to put like on my business mind hat because if you don't, you could get screwed over.
Mm.
Okay, I'm just going to dissect the clip a bit. So basically, Chloe talks about the music industry and kind of how record deals typically work. She mentioned the fact that artists have to pay back record labels money. And what she means by this is that when artists sign multi-million dollar record deals or get a bunch of money to create an album, it doesn't mean that they become super rich millionaires right away. It just means that they get this money as sort of a loan from the label to create the actual music. And then they don't actually make any money until they can pay that money back with earnings from their music. The technical term for this is an advance. So let's say a record label gives an artist an advance of $300,000. This means that the artist has that amount of money to create their music, so they can use that for payments like studio time or paying their producers. But then they won't actually make money from their music until they can pay that advance back to their record label. So once they're able to pay that back, that's when they can start earning money from their music. So even though making music is an artist's career, they typically don't make most of their money through their actual music. They make it through things like touring, merch, and brand partnerships. That's why Chloe kind of describes the music as an ad. Because if you're not making music, you're not building an audience, which means you're not going to be able to sell tour tickets or sell merch or get contacted by brands for partnerships. And I feel like people wonder all the time, like, why are some of these huge artists doing brand deals if they're already millionaires and they already have so much money? Well, it's really not that easy when it comes to music, because artists rely on their brand deals because brands pay artists a shit ton of money to get their products advertised. This is why it's so important for artists to not only be creatives when it comes to making music, but they also kind of have to have the mindset of a social media influencer. Every single artist out there should be focused on building a following on social media, because that's how they'll build an audience to actually listen to the music, but it's also how the big brands will notice them and reach out to them, asking them to do partnerships. An artist who I think is really good at this is Saweetie. She's very popular on social media, has millions of followers on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. And she also has done so many brand deals, like to the point where I'm like, holy fucking shit. Like, how are these brands all reaching out to Saweetie? She's collaborated with brands like Morphe, Crocs. She even had her own fucking McDonald's meal. And it got to the point where people were like, okay, is Saweetie still a rapper, or is she just a social media influencer now? But it really does show that these artists are serious about their brand partnerships. Like, they really want a bag, and I don't blame them. It also just helps them get their name out there, because the more people see an artist in an ad or collaborating with their favorite brand, the more they're going to want to support them. I thought this would be a good time to explain the different types of record deals artists can sign. So there's the traditional record deals, which allow labels to make money only off of an artist's streams and sales. But there's also something called a 360 deal. And if an artist signs one of these, that means that the label not only makes money from the sales and streams of an artist, but they make money from everything that's coming in. So sales from tours, merch, endorsements, literally everything. I'd say there's definitely pros and cons of a 360 deal. Obviously, one thing is that if you're a newer artist, it's going to be a lot harder for you to start making money, because a large amount of what you're making is going to your label. On the other hand, though, if you're not bringing in enough revenue from your music, but you're getting a lot of money from tours and merch, then your label will still be happy because they're making money at the end of the day. But if this were to happen to an artist who's not signed under a 360 deal, then the label would likely drop them because they're not making money from music and they're not getting any money from tours or merch. I guess one thing artists can take away from this is that the first thing you should do when you get a record deal is bring that shit over to a lawyer to get those contracts read over, because you do not want to screw yourself over. You don't want to sign the wrong contract and regret it 10 years later and end up talking shit about your label. You know, you want to be able to have a good relationship with them and get your bag. Before I get into talking about this week's top 10 songs, I want to do a little bit of chart history, because today is actually the anniversary of a very special song. 8 years ago today, Ariana Grande released her song Problem featuring Iggy Azalea. I can't believe it's been 8 fucking years. Like, at the time, it was Ariana's biggest hit, ended up peaking at number 2 on the Hot 100. It was actually blocked by Fancy by Iggy Azalea. So Iggy literally blocked herself from hitting number 1 on the chart, which is kind of iconic because Iggy really took over the world during this time. Like, she had hit after hit. It's kind of sad though that Problem never hit number 1, because it would have been Ariana Grande's first number 1, but she actually didn't end up getting a number 1 until 4 years later with Thank You Next.
One less problem without you. I got one less.
All right, so now I'm going to get into this week's top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100. I'm going to talk about it, give my opinions, as well as some songs that I think should be in the top 10. So at number one is As It Was by Harry Styles. Number two is First Class by Jack Harlow. Number three is Heat Waves by Glass Animals. Number four is Big Energy by Latto. Number five is Enemy by Imagine Dragons and JID. Number six is Stay by The Kid LAROI and Justin Bieber. At number seven is Don't Think Jesus by Morgan Wallen. Number eight, Woman by Doja Cat. Number nine is Super Gremlin by Kodak Black. And number 10 is Ghost by Justin Bieber. Okay, first of all, who let Morgan Wallen into the top 10? Like, does he really have that many stands? I'm so confused. Anyways, I'm not really surprised by this week's top 10. Kind of boring, because for the most part, it's the same top 10 as last week, just mixed around a little bit. Each week, I think that Woman by Doja Cat is going to reach a new peak because it keeps rising on Spotify. But so far, it's peaked at number 8. Hopefully that rises though, because I would love to see that song. I know I talk about it a lot, like I talked about it last week on my podcast, but I would love to see that song enter the top 5, especially because it's been so long since it came out. So I feel like that'd kind of be iconic. The song that I wish was number 1 though is Big Energy by Latto. It's number 4 right now and previously peaked at number 3, but I've been obsessed with that song for a while and I'm so happy for Latto that it's doing so well. But I just wish that it was number 1. One song that I think should definitely be in the top 10 is Boyfriend by Dove Cameron, which went viral on TikTok a couple months ago and has been on the charts ever since. Right now, it is currently sitting at number 37, which is its peak, and I'm hoping that it continues to rise. But I love that song. I love Dove Cameron. If you don't know who she is a former Disney star who started releasing music a couple of years ago, but really hasn't had a hit until now. And the song is just so interesting to the point where it's almost addicting to listen to. It's a very dark pop sounding song, which is very different from anything Dove has released before. And I feel like it perfectly captures the direction Dove wants to head with her music, because before she was releasing a lot of alternative pop and dance pop songs that I feel like just didn't fit her. But now you can tell that she really enjoys singing this song. Go stream it if you haven't already. Stan Dove Cameron, because she's the moment and she should honestly become a main pop girl. The universe must have defined this. What am I gonna do? Not grab your wrist. I could be a better boyfriend than him. I could throw the shit that he never did. Up on that, I won't quit thinking I'm gonna steal you from him. I could be such a gentleman. All right, so my next segment is my favorite piece of music of the week. And this week, it's a good fucking song. It's called Flowers by Lauren Spencer Smith. And in the song, Lauren sings about an ex who she now realizes was just a toxic, shitty human being. My favorite part of the song is when she sings, "Who are you to tell me I can't be heartbroken? Babe, you had the chance. The door for you was open. If it's what you need to tell yourself to sleep at night, pretend I haven't found a man who finally treats me right." She's basically saying, "Fuck you, you treated me like shit, but now I have someone who treats me right and makes me happy." Lauren was actually a contestant on American Idol a couple of years ago, and I remember standing her so hard during the season. Something that you guys may not know about me is that I go hard for American Idol. Like, once I find a contestant on there that I like, I stan them. And for me, in 2020, that was Lauren Spencer Smith. And I just remember being so sad when she didn't make it further, because she should have won. Like, I'm going to play a clip of her singing in a second. You guys can hear how good of a singer she is, and you'll probably agree with me. But it's probably for the best that she didn't win, because she would have been forced into that American Idol recording contract, which, as we know, hasn't really been that great, because when is the last time an American Idol actually made it big in the music industry? The latest winner I can think of who was actually successful in the industry was Scotty McCreery, who is a country artist and won in 2011. So that was like over 10 years ago. A lot of times it is the people who don't win American Idol that end up becoming more famous. And in this case, Lauren didn't even make the top 10, but she's currently more famous than any other contestant from that season. She's actually gone viral a few times. Earlier this year, her song Finger Crossed went viral, and that song really made me a hardcore stan. Like, I stanned her before from American Idol, but once I heard that song, I was like, holy fucking shit, like, Lauren Spencer Smith is a star. And then that song took off and ended up getting her a record deal. She signed with Island Records and Republic Records. And then she released her first song signed with them, which is Flowers. Both Fingers Crossed and Flowers have done really well. Fingers Crossed ended up peaking at number 19 on the Hot 100. And Flowers actually just entered this week's Hot 100 chart at number 55, which is pretty fucking good for a new artist. I'm so happy for her. This is really just the start of her career. But I can honestly see her becoming this generation's Adele. Like, she's just that good. I guess the flowers aren't just used for big apologies. I guess I should have been more conscious how you spoke to me. Cause when we fight, you give me space and I communicate. And for a while, I thought that's what I should appreciate. Maybe I was holding on to what I thought you were. But when you think too hard, eventually it starts to hurt. The version of you in my head now. Wasn't true. Young people fall for the wrong people. Guess my one was you. All right, next let's talk about the music news of the week. So earlier this week, Machine Gun Kelly announced that he is officially returning to rap music with his next album. And I don't know about you guys, but I was actually really surprised by this because Machine Gun Kelly started out as a rapper, but then started shifting into pop rock music. And I don't know about you guys, but I was actually really surprised by this because he's had a lot of success with his rock music. Both of his pop rock albums, Tickets to My Downfall and Mainstream Sellout, were number one albums. So he's kind of taken over this genre in a way, whether you like him or not, because I know he has a lot of haters out there. I feel like he was starting to have more success in pop rock than he was having with rap, because in 2019, he released a rap album called Hotel Diablo. And that ended up peaking at number 5. And I feel like him doing pop rock music was a way for him to rebrand himself and to gain a new audience that he wouldn't have gained with his rap music. And it really worked out for him because going from having a number 5 album to having 2 number 1 albums in a row is actually really impressive. But I feel like now that he has a new audience with his pop rock music, then his upcoming rap music will do pretty well. It reminds me of when Taylor Swift went from being a country artist to a pop artist to an indie folk artist. Like, she really went through so many genres and executed each shift perfectly. Perhaps Machine Gun Kelly learned from Taylor Swift. I don't really know. But personally, I love when artists switch up genres. It's just something that is always so unexpected. Like, you always expect an artist to just finish where they left off with their last album, maybe have a similar sound, but tweak it a little bit and tell a different story. But when they actually switch up the whole genre, it's like, holy shit, because it's such a big risk. I mean, you already developed an audience and a fan base from one genre, and trying to please that audience with another genre is hard enough. And on top of that, you have to try to gain a larger audience with that new genre. It's definitely something that I would love to see more in the music industry. I feel like a lot of artists just play it safe by releasing the same music over and over again because they know it will sell. But I love when artists switch up their sound because it shows that they're evolving with each era that they do, and it just makes me want to support them more. In conclusion, stan Taylor Swift because she really is the blueprint when it comes to artists switching up genres. I think that's a good note to end this episode with. So thank you all so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Make sure if you enjoyed it to rate the podcast 5 stars and subscribe to it on whatever platform that you use, because that way you'll know whenever a new episode gets posted. I'm at Adam the Flop on all social media platforms. So go follow me if you haven't already. Also, I would love to see you guys share the podcast. So if you really enjoy the episode, post it on your Instagram story and I will repost it on mine. But thank you all so much again for tuning in, and I hope you all have a great rest of your week.